The Word of God is given to us to feed on. We at Deliverance Assemblies of God Church, located at Kotobabi behind Ebony Hotel in Accra, use this channel to come your way with the unadulterated Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. I just want you to rise up and lift up your hands and say, Lord, you are God. Just tell the Lord how wonderful he is. Absolutely. We are nothing without you. Let him know it. Let him know it. Say something to him, Lord, that we are nothing without you, Lord. We are nothing without you. If the Lord has not been on our side, let Israel say. Let Israel say. Let someone online say. If God has not been on our side, if God has not been on our side, it has been the Lord. Lord, it has been by your grace. Tell the Lord something right now. Absolutely nothing without you. Absolutely nothing without you. God is really pleased with such words. God is so much pleased with such words. Yes, if the Lord has not been on our side, Psalm 124. If the Lord has not been on our side, let Israel say. Let Deliverance Assemblies of God say. Let House of Destiny say. Let everyone watching online say. Yes, if the Lord has not been on our side, when men attacked us, when their anger fled against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the foulest snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you, Jesus. Lari Duskata Kabayate. We bless your name. We thank you, Father. We exalt you and uplift you. We say, Lord, you are God. We say, Lord, you are King. Thank you, Father. We glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please be seated and give a clap offering unto the Lord. God is good and all the time. And I say, God is good to the one online. The Lord is good unto us. Hallelujah. We want to read the following scriptures again. I welcome you to our second service. This is our Facebook and Podbean. And it is my prayer that as many as are falling online, the Lord will use this medium to touch your lives and then to minister unto you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by his faith. I want us to look at John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are spirit of the spirit. They are full of the spirit and life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. These are the few scriptures we want to read related to our theme. For we live by faith, not by sight. Amen. I am speaking to you on the Christian life. A life in the supernatural and not in the natural. Part 2. Last Sunday we saw part 1. And today we want to look at part 2. I thought it would just be a one Sunday message, but the Lord is just gradually expanding it. So the Christian life, a life in the supernatural and not in the natural, part 2. And the part 2 today, we want to look at the demonstration or manifestation of supernatural living. Those who demonstrated or manifested spiritual, supernatural living. Beloved, we have been called, as we heard last Sunday, the Christian life is to be lived more in the supernatural than in the natural or in the physical. Even though we are physical bodies, we live in physical circumstances, we are not called to live by our senses. When we talk about natural, natural is talking about the limitations of the flesh, the limitations of what you see, the limitations of what you hear. Yes, many people live and they draw their conclusions on their feelings. We draw our conclusions on what we feel in our body, on what we see with our eyes, on our circumstances, and on our situation around us. This is the way many live. And I can tell you that the Bible describes this way of living as being natural or carnal. Being natural or carnal, or living in the flesh. And I can tell you that a life in the flesh, a life in the natural, is so limited. Is so limited. In fact, a life in the natural is full of stress, is full of sweat, in fact, is full of distress, is full of fear and hope, anxiety. Because there are many things that happen in the natural that when you look at the other side, the supernatural side, they are nothing at all before you. But because the natural is what we see, the natural is what we feel, many of us, many Christians, live more in the natural than the supernatural. But I can tell you, the Christian life is more to be lived in the supernatural than in the natural. Yes, it's more to be lived in the supernatural than in the natural. Supernatural living is being convinced and conscious of who God is and his ability and nature. Supernatural living is a life that is driven or inspired by who God is, what he said he can do, what he has done before, what we expect him to do according to his track record. Yes. Natural living is a life like that I've just said, like I've said, that is solely limited to the flesh, our carnal nature, our surroundings, our experiences. That is natural living. Natural living, as I've just said, draws conclusions on the now. Natural living, it draws conclusions on the now, on the present, on what is happening now. I am telling you, don't make your decisions on what is happening to you now. Don't make your decisions and choices on what you are seeing today. Because what is happening now in the present is very deceptive. The natural is very deceptive. The natural is also very hot, limited. Those who live by the natural, those who make decisions by the natural, those who make their choices by what they see, what they feel today, you will live to regret it. You will live to regret it. Because there is something beyond. There is a life beyond the natural. There is a life beyond what you feel, what you see. To the man or woman who is living in the natural, failure is the end of life. Failure is the end of life. To lose a property, to lose something, is the end of life for somebody who is living a natural life. But for somebody who is living supernaturally, failure is not the end of life. Failure is just a happening. Because beyond the failure, there is another life. I was listening to one of our sisters in the United States sent me a link of one of the FM stations. And then this young businessman was talking about how, you know, I don't listen to TV. I don't listen to radio. I scarcely listen to radio apart from Sunny FM. And then those Christian persons that I listen to music and then their preachings and others. I don't really listen to, so much to radio. Formerly, I was a radio person. I mean, I was a radio person. But for some time now, for some years now, I am out of radio. Apart from some news, even TV, apart from news and once in a while. And I was listening to this young man who was talking about how this thing happened just the past week. How he nearly lost $200,000. Fraudsters, international fraudsters, they nearly robbed him of $200,000. He nearly paid into a wrong account. They were able to change something little in his email, just a word, and he didn't see it well because he's a very busy man traveling all around. And so he went to the radio station to give a warning that it is time that people should begin to observe details of your email, details of the messages you receive, where they are coming from, where. And as he was speaking, he said, within last week, two people, a woman, was swindled of $500,000. Another man, $1 million. And he was saying that another person also lost $2 million, and he went straight to kill himself. He went straight to kill himself. Do you know why that man killed himself? By losing $2 million, because all his life is based on $2 million. He saw all his life on $2 million. That's why somebody loses a career, loses a property, loses something, and that is the end of life. Because all that he or she is living for is for that. That's a pure example of somebody who is living in God, in the natural. But somebody living in the supernatural sees beyond. Yes, sees beyond. Now, it is faith in the supernatural that draws us into the church every Sunday. It is faith in the supernatural that causes you to come to church today or go to church. It is faith in the supernatural that is causing you to listen to the word, to give attention to the word. Because you know that in the word has something beyond your feelings, beyond what you are seeing. It's the belief in the supernatural that inspires you to pick the Bible and read. It is your belief in the supernatural that inspires you to listen to the word of God. It is your belief in the supernatural that inspires you to give offerings, to pay tithes, etc. All these things we do, it is our belief in God, in the supernatural. It is our faith in the supernatural. It is our faith in the supernatural that inspires us to obey God's word. To obey God and His word. It is our faith in the supernatural that inspires us to be faithful to God, even when no one is watching us. Even when no one is watching us. Yes. When no one is watching us, it is our faith in the supernatural that inspires us to still please God. And let me tell you, the things I do when I'm alone, that is when I am more careful than when somebody is around me. When I am alone, because when you are alone, only three of you are there. Maybe two. Sometimes three. You are there. God is also there. And the devil is also there. So whatever you do, these two witness it. But when you have people surrounding you, when you have friends, you have people around you who can tell you that, hey, this thing you are doing is wrong. This thing you are doing is that. Then, anytime you are in any trouble, God will touch somebody to pray for you. Even someone you don't know, someone in China, someone in India, someone anywhere, pray for that person. But when you are alone, God doesn't touch anybody. That's why we need to be careful the things we do when we are alone. But when we have people around us, there are witnesses. So God will raise a witness to do what? To pray for you. It is a faith in the supernatural that inspires us to pray. Even when we do not feel like praying. Yes. It is the faith in the supernatural that inspires you to pray. Even when you don't feel like praying. Sometimes prayer is difficult. Sometimes prayer is meaningless. You are praying and you are not seeing anything or feeling anything. But you should just keep on praying. It is your faith in the supernatural that inspires you to keep on praying. In spite of the fact that you are not seeing anything. Because when you fail to pray, you are just like any other person. You are just like any other person when you fail to pray. But because you are a child of God and you are called to a life of the supernatural, your faith in the supernatural will make you pray. Even when prayer is meaningless. Let me tell you, sometimes prayer is not easy. I am telling you, I don't know whether you feel it. Sometimes you get out to pray. I will be praying for 3 hours and I tell you, I just say, oh Lord, this one, please help me. It's not easy. You are praying and you are not feeling the inspiration to pray. Sometimes too, you begin to pray and you are really feeling the power and the impact of prayer. The prayer is just flowing. Pa, 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 pa. Other times too, you are praying. And it is as if there is a mountain, as if something is sealing the prayer, but you need to pray through anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. It is your faith in the supernatural that inspires you to do good. To do good. To do good. It is your faith in the supernatural that enables you to forgive. I'm telling you, if you don't believe in the supernatural, you will never forgive. In the natural, it's not easy to forgive. It is only a life in the supernatural that can forgive. Because there is something beyond the offense that was done to you. Because God can even turn that offense into what? Into a blessing. Yes. Somebody came to me and was complaining about how the landlady maltreated her. And the person was talking something that happened 10 years ago. Meanwhile, the person was now living in her own house. Then somebody was around me, and the person asked the lady, so you are still talking about 10 years. Look, if that woman had not risen against you, would you be living in your own house? You are now living in your own house. You went and prayed and cried, and somebody gave you a plot of land, and the person helped you. Why don't you just see that which your landlady did against you as a blessing and even begin to thank God for her life? The sister lifted up her hand and said, God, forgive me. I never caught this revelation. You see, she was living what? In the natural. So in the natural, what the landlady did was the worst. But a person living in the supernatural will see what the landlady did as an open door, as a breakthrough. May you receive the grace to begin to live in the supernatural. Hallelujah. It is a supernatural that inspires us to forgive. And you know something? It is because of the supernatural that Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. Yes. In John chapter 16 verse 7. John 16 verse 7. He said, it is expedient for you that I go. It is very necessary for you that I go. Because if I don't go, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the helper, who is the Holy Spirit, will never come. It is expedient. It is very necessary for you that I go away. It is a, because of the supernatural that Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. Yes, because the supernatural can only be lived by the help of what? The Holy Spirit. It is the life of the supernatural that enabled Jesus Christ to tell the disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from God from on high. The main purpose of the Holy Spirit is to help us to live supernaturally in a natural world. Supernaturally in a sinful world. Supernaturally in a tempting world. Yes. Supernaturally in limited environment and circumstances. It is only a life in the Holy Spirit that will enable you to live such a life, a supernatural life in such an environment, especially in our time. This is a time we are being called into the life of what? The supernatural. Because if you give your ears to the things you hear, with the advent of coronavirus, if you give your attention to the things you see and feel, I'm telling you, you collapse. You collapse. You see there is no life. You see there is no hope. But when you tune into the supernatural, you will see that this is the better time. It's the best time. This is the time that God wants to manifest His glory in our lives. Hallelujah. Because this is not the first time. Many things like this have happened. Only a life that is fully yielded to the Holy Spirit can understand and live the supernatural. Only a life that is fully yielded to the Holy Spirit that can understand and live the supernatural. The supernatural is as real as the natural. While the natural is only limited to the now or present, the supernatural is unlimited. It goes beyond the now or the present. Supernatural living is a life without stress, without sweat, and without strain. A life without sweat, without stress, and without strain. Because we are convinced that someone is in control of the future. Supernatural living is a life without pressure. Because we are convinced that our end will be better than today. Supernatural living sees beyond our present circumstances and bad experiences. Supernatural living can get you the best of anything and put you in the best of any position in spite of your circumstances and predicament. For instance, Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. Jabez. The Bible said that this man was more honorable than his brothers. He was more honorable because he was the only person who did the honorable thing. He was the only person who knew God and called on God. The Bible said that the mother gave him Jabez because in pain, the mother conceived him and then gave birth to him. So when the baby was born, theologians believe that either the father might have died or the father just disappeared during the pregnancy of Jabez. So when this baby was born, the name that the mother gave to the baby was Jabez. Jabez means he who causes sorrow. He who causes pain. And when Jabez started growing, the circumstances were not unfavorable at all. He started manifesting all the sorrows and the pains and the disappointment. And the Bible said that Jabez prayed. Jabez was more honorable than his wife. His mother, then he said, Jabez prayed. Jabez prayed and told God. He said to God, remember me, O Lord. He cried unto the Lord of Israel, to the God of Israel. Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And the Bible said, God granted his request. God granted what? His request. The man became great and became an entrepreneur. And he built a city called the city of Jabez, where the aristocrats, I mean, the highly educated people in the society, the lawyers, where they lived. And he named that city the city of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. Chapter 2, verse 55. The city of what? Jabez. So you see, supernatural living can get you the best of anything and put you in the best of any position in spite of your circumstances and your predicament. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Okay. Yes, it's rather 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. And the clans of scribes who lived at Jabez, the Tiretites, Shimeatites, and Sukutites. My God, these Bible names, eh? These are the Kenites who came from Hamah, the father of the Rechabite. Let's just end there. So you see, he built the city of what? Jabez. And in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says that God raises the poor. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sees them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor, for the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. You see, God raises the poor from the dust, not just the poor, but the poor who decide to believe in the supernatural. The poor who decide to walk in the supernatural, to live in the supernatural, to see beyond their present circumstance. Yes, in Christ. Hallelujah. Supernatural living is a life of faith. And let me say this. We are not called to generate faith. Christian, listen to me. You are not called to generate faith. Because God gave us faith. Faith is a gift. The day we became born again, the seed of faith was planted in us. So our responsibility is what? Is to express faith. We are called to manifest faith. Now, the object in which you manifest faith is very important. If you manifest faith in poverty, poverty is what you believe. If you manifest faith in death, it means always you are afraid of death. You are actually manifesting faith in what? In death. The object in which you are manifesting faith is very, very important. God is calling us to manifest faith in Him. In what? In His word. Not in even our ability. No! We are not called to manifest faith in our strength. Yes. That's why the Bible says, it's not by might, nor by power. It is all by the Spirit of God. God has called us to manifest faith in the nature of God, in the ability of God, in the grace of God, in the strength of God. Hallelujah. This is where I have been having problems with the motivational speakers. Motivational speakers. Yes. All they draw attention on is self. Self. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Believe that you can do it. It is true. It is true. But go into Bible concordance and see what the Bible say about self. If you have a Bible concordance, Prudence Bible concordance, go and look at self. Everything God says about self is negative. It's negative. Everything the Bible says about self is all negative. It means that don't trust and don't believe. Don't trust in yourself. But trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. You are not called to trust in your ability. So you see, anytime your strength fails you, rejoice, because the strength of the Holy Spirit is there to back you. Hallelujah. Anytime your wisdom fails you, your ability fails you, don't begin to cry that I failed. There is something beyond your ability. There is something beyond your wisdom. There is something beyond your knowledge. Hallelujah. Today we want to look at the people who demonstrated supernatural or manifested supernatural living. First, we want to look at Abraham. Abraham. Let's look at, we want to look at certain, dimensions that Abraham manifested the supernatural. First, we want to look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Genesis 12, 1 to 4, which can be linked to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. The Bible says that when the Lord said to Abraham to go from his country, from his people and from his father's household to a land that he did not know, the Bible says in Hebrews that even though Abraham did not know where he was going, but he believed. Abraham just set off because God has not spoken. And so he began to look at a city that was built by God himself. A city whose foundations were laid by God himself. You see this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10. So it was supernatural living, faith in the supernatural, that made Abraham to obey. Like I said, it is faith in the supernatural that enables you to obey the word of God. I'm telling you, if you don't have faith in the supernatural, you can never obey. The next place in Genesis 15, from verse 1, we want to see how the natural and the supernatural played here. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. This was God speaking in the supernatural. Say, God speaking in the supernatural. And God speaking by the supernatural. Hallelujah. You see, when God is speaking, he speaks by his ability. He speaks by who he is. He speaks by what he can do. Not by you. No. He does not speak by where you come from. Or who gave you, who brought you forth into this world. Your family background. Your educational background. No. It is irrelevant to him. He doesn't speak by where you live. I can tell you that geographical location is nonsense when it comes to God. Yes, a great man of God came to me in tears. His church is located at airport residential area. And whenever he's going to drop the matter, those days when we're sitting 800, 600, 700, you know, when before the COVID, yes, especially when the students are from school, the whole place is packed. And he said that when he used to pass, he will pass there to go and drop the mother at Aladu. And at the same time, we have closed. And when he sees the cars trooping out, he said, which church are toys at this place, this locality? And why is me? For 20 years, I can't raise 100 members. So one day he came to me in tears. He looked around. Then I said to him, it is not your geographical location, but it is the word of God that sent you there. It is the God who is with you at where you are. It is the God. If you are clapping, you clap for Jesus. Let me tell you, it is not where you are. It is the word that sent you to where you are. And it is the God who is with you at where you are. How can a church grow in this place? How can a church grow in this environment? Have you gone to such an Islamic environment and find a church like this? You find small, small, small churches. You find small, small, small churches. Look at this huge project. Those online cannot see. The place is big. The upstairs is big. Very soon we shall climb upstairs. Hallelujah. It's a huge project that the Lord is doing here. By the grace of God. Just because the Lord spoke a word. Like in Genesis 26, when he told Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Stay here and I'll be with you and I will bless you. Hallelujah. Church, it is not your geographical location. No. It is the word of God that sent you to that place. It is the presence of God that is with you. And I spoke to this man. And from that day, that man became my friend. He comes to me for counseling. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. Here we see God speaking from the supernatural. After God spoke from the supernatural, look at Abraham's response. Abraham responded in the natural. Verse 2 and 3. This Abraham's response from the natural. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no child, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You don't know how painful it is when you have wealth and a servant. You say, a servant in my household, a servant will inherit me. A servant, not a son. Everybody is working, hoping that his or her offspring will inherit him or her. But in this case, a servant. You know, God knew the heart of Abraham at that time. He knew that something was happening to Abraham. Abraham was beginning to suffer from delay syndrome. Say delay syndrome. Hey, let me tell you, when the Bible says that Abraham believed in God and all that, it doesn't mean that his heart didn't shake. Once in a while, his heart shook like this. Hey, God, this one bad. Yeah. So the heart started. Then God said, let me talk to him. Let me talk to him before he does something to himself. Abraham, don't fear. I am with you. Then Abraham responded in the natural. Look. It is not a sin to be natural. No. It is not a sin to face the reality. Natural is simply what? The reality. But you see, natural must come first before the supernatural. After the natural has come, raise your faith into what? Into the supernatural. Then after this, from verse 5, God spoke again in the supernatural. Let's see what God said. Let's see what God said. Verse 4. The word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is in your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Verse 5. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And it continued. Abraham believed the law, and he credited it to him as what? Righteousness. After God has spoke again in the supernatural, you know, first God spoke in the supernatural. Abraham responded in the natural. Then God spoke again in the supernatural. The moment God spoke the second time in the supernatural, Abraham had no option than what? To believe. The Bible says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard. Thou art power. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. Power to change situations. Power to terminate delays. Power to reverse age. Power to turn things around. I say power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. So because God has spoken supernaturally twice, Abraham had no option than what? To believe. Look, anytime God speaks twice, you should have no option. You should only believe. You should only believe. You should only believe. You should only believe. That's why you see Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Whenever he says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, shatakara, it means this one, don't doubt it. This one, don't doubt it. That was what happened here. That was what God did here. He spoke in the supernatural. Verse 1, Genesis 15. Abraham responded in the natural. Then God spoke again in the supernatural. That is to say, verily number 1, verily number 2. Then this one, Abraham has no option than to believe. Hallelujah. No matter your situation, your circumstance, the moment God gives you a dream twice, a positive dream twice, a prophecy twice, the same thing twice, you have no option than to believe it. I say you have no option than what? Than to believe it. It means God means business. After a year, because now Abraham had believed God, what did God do? God cut a covenant. Say, cut a covenant. In the Hebrew, we say God cut a covenant. God cut a covenant with Abraham. And God bound himself with that covenant. Hallelujah. And after God has cut the covenant with Abraham to seal the deal, to surely assure Abraham that what I promise will surely come to pass, what happened now? In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, God revealed his character, his nature to Abraham. Anytime you read the Bible and you see the name of the Lord, like in Numbers chapter 6, verse 26 and 27, verse 25 to 27, God told Aaron that these are the blessings that you should put on my people, so that you place my name on them. You place my name on them. When the Bible said that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runners into it and hold, and they are safe. Anytime you see the name of the Lord, it's talking about what? The nature of God. The character of God. So the name of God is what? Is the nature of God. The character of God. The name of the Lord describes who he is, what he can do, his ability. So in Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, after Abraham had now believed, God revealed his name to him. In Genesis chapter 17 verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, how many years old? Let me tell you, even me, at the age of 99, if God should tell me that something is still possible at 99, I need grace to believe. I'm telling you, I need grace. Papa, look, God, have mercy on me. I'm telling you the truth. So at 99, God knows that naturally, at 99, no, let me reveal my character to Abraham. So at 99, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. These three words, I am God Almighty, in Hebrew is El Shaddai. I am what? El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? Remember, this is a 99-year-old man with his 89-year-old wife. Everything has expired. Everything has expired. I'm telling you, the womb has expired. The down there has everything flat. Naturally, flat. Flat. Today, there are some 30-year-old boys who have misused themselves. They are already flat. Yes. Some women, they are already flat. They are flat already. So now 99, when everything is flat, God said that, look, I have to appear. He said to Abraham, I am El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. The name El Shaddai means, I am the all-sufficient God. I am the all-sufficient God. Abraham, I have sufficient grace. I have sufficient power. I have sufficient anointing. I have sufficient ability to reverse your age, to restore you, to cause whatever I have spoken to come to pass. Anything that I need to do for the word I have spoken to come to pass, I have it in all sufficiency. Sufficient grace. Sufficient anointing, sufficient power, sufficient wisdom, sufficient knowledge, sufficient strength to reverse your age, to still bring it to pass, even though you are 99 years old. El Shaddai also means, I am the many-breasted God. I have so much breast that every human being can be sucking one and the breast will never run dry. It uses it to portray a woman with many breasts, portraying the inexhaustible resources of God. Hallelujah. In power, in grace, in everything. El Shaddai. Another Hebrew philosophy behind El Shaddai is that Abraham, I am. In fact, with me, everything is a solution. Abraham, with me, everything is not a solution. Abraham, when I need water, I can tell this rock to produce water, and water can come. If I need mango to eat, I can tell this pillar, produce mango. And this pillar, branches will begin to grow. And I will pluck mango. Abraham, I am El Shaddai. With me, age is irrelevant. Age is what? Irrelevant. Abraham, with me, your age is irrelevant. Only your obedience and your faith is what I need. Let somebody receive the El Shaddai anointing right now. The El Shaddai anointing right now. Somebody may be asking, at this age, can someone marry me? At this age, can I have a child? With this many children, can someone marry me? With this car on my body, will someone love me? With my low educational standard, will someone marry me? With my present circumstances, do I have a chance? Do I have a chance? These are some of the questions people ask. With what has befallen me, can I still make it? At this age, can I still make it? I was passing somewhere when a man and woman were quarreling, a husband and wife were quarreling. And I can tell you that if you haven't eaten, don't quarrel with a woman. I'm telling you, if you have not eaten, don't quarrel with a woman. You can collapse very easily. One word will come from the woman's mouth. And then, it will knock you down. And the woman was talking, the woman was just, I see Jesus of Nazareth. The man too hasn't got wisdom to stop. Eh? The man will say something, and the one that the woman will say, The man will also say, then the woman will say one. You can see that the man, I said, this man is going to collapse. I said, and one of the things I heard, the woman said, you at your age, look at you, at your age, what can you do? Eh? People of your age, look at what they have achieved. They started mentioning some names. Eh? Look at this man, they are your age. You are even 1 year older than them. Look at what they have achieved. Look at you, foolish man, and you are here quarreling with me. Do you know, when the man wanted to go out, he mistakenly put black socks on the left and brown socks on the right, and wore the shoe, and then he was moving. That's the manifestation of insult. That's the manifestation of insult. Yes. And I know that some of you have received those words. Yes. Something might have been said to you. Yes. You, with your family background, with so, so, and so, where do you come from? Can anything good come out of you? Listen to me. El Shaddai will manifest. I say, El Shaddai will manifest. El Shaddai will make the difference. El Shaddai is what you need in that situation. You need El Shaddai. You need El Shaddai. You need the God of all sufficiency. You need the God of all grace. You need the God of all power. You need the God of all anointing. He is the one you need in that situation, in that circumstance. Hallelujah. I can tell you, I know at least 3 women who lost their wombs, but they married and had children. One of them had 5. Another one had 4. Another one had 2. I know with my eyes, I have seen them. I have seen them. I have seen them. Let me tell you. Yes, I thank God that she's here. Auntie Benedicta is here. I said I'm going to use her to preach. for some time. I will tell you her age. Because of me being her pastor, I know her age. But listen to me. The devil delayed her. The devil delayed her marriage. The devil did everything that he should do. But listen to me. A few weeks ago, her marriage came to pass. We celebrated her marriage here. We celebrated her wedding here. We celebrate because she trusted in El Shaddai. She believed in the God of the supernatural. That is Sister Benedita here. That is the one here right now on you, on your camera. That is a marriage that we celebrated here because she believed in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Many Christians are not living in the supernatural at all. I'm telling you. That is why our life is not manifesting Christianity. We are living like unbelievers. We talk like unbelievers. Yes. We behave like unbelievers. I laugh at people when they don't pay tithes. You are just like an unbeliever. Because they don't pay tithes. Even there are some unbelievers who pay tithes. Look, I know some Muslims who pay tithes. I'm telling you, I know some Muslims who pay tithe. They pay tithe. They pay tithe. I've seen some. But Christians, natural. Oh, I will lose it. The little I have, why don't I keep it? That is natural living. Look, when El Shaddai manifests to you, this week, let El Shaddai manifest to somebody. Let El Shaddai manifest in your business. Let El Shaddai manifest in your body. Let El Shaddai manifest in your health. Let El Shaddai manifest in that situation. Let El Shaddai manifest in your finances. Let El Shaddai manifest in your business. Let El Shaddai manifest in your home. Let El Shaddai manifest in your dream. Let El Shaddai manifest, manifest in that enterprise. In that enterprise, let El Shaddai visit you. Hallelujah. And look at what Sarah said. What did Sarah say? Genesis 21, 6 to 7. Look at what Sarah said after she had conceived and delivered. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. 7. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet, I have borne him a son in his old age. Who would have said, El Shaddai has brought me laughter. May El Shaddai bring you laughter. I said, may El Shaddai turn your tears into laughter. Turn your tears into laughter. Turn your sorrow into laughter. Turn your sorrow into laughter. Turn your bitterness into joy. Hallelujah. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. May El Shaddai lift you from that situation. May El Shaddai turn you around. May El Shaddai speak powerfully unto you. Hallelujah. God bless you for clapping unto the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Luke chapter 1, 24 to 25. Luke 1, 24 to 25 and 36. Luke 1, 24, 25 and 36. Luke chapter 1. 24. Let's listen to what this. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant for 5 months. Remained in seclusion. 25. Then this was what Elizabeth said. When she became pregnant at the age of 60 years, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. He has shown me his favor and taking away what? My disgrace. May favor that nullifies disgrace rest upon you right now. Receive favor. Favor that terminates disgrace. Favor that
terminates delays, favor that terminates poverty, let that favor rest on you. 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 Let that favor rest on your business. Let that favor rest on your marriage. Let that favor rest on your husband. Let that favor rest on your wife. Let that favor rest on your children. Let that favor rest on your position. Favor that terminates disgrace. Favor that nullifies poverty. Favor that terminates hurt, delays. Receive that favor right now. 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 This was what Elizabeth said. And what did the angel say? Look, when people are talking, angels hear. This was what the angel told Mary. When he has gone to announce that Mary, you are a virgin, but you are going to have a child. And then Mary said, but how can this be since I'm a virgin? This was what the angel said to Mary. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Please, can you give me this in King James? Let's see King James. This was what people said. He who was said to be. He about whom people were saying. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Who was called barren. Who were calling him her barren. People were calling Elizabeth barren. 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 Listen to me. It doesn't matter what people call you, but what matters is the manifestation of El Shaddai. I say it doesn't matter what people call you, but what matters is the manifestation of El Shaddai. Look, you don't know what people can say, eh? You don't know what people can say. You have no idea. You don't know what people can say. You don't know. Look, this project, I am surprised that even some of the committee members, they don't have faith that will finish. One day, a committee member, some years ago, we have not even come this far. He didn't know that I was there. And he was saying, this thing power here to take God. Oh. This thing power here to take God. As for pastor, only he can do this. This thing power here. As for me, power here, in fact, only I can't do this. Oh. And when he turned and he saw me, up to today, he fears me. I didn't say anything to him. I've never said any about five. I've never said any. I think he wants me to just say something to free him. I won't say it. And I've never taken him out of the committee. I've never taken him out of the committee. That is naturalistic. You can be in something and you can doubt it. I am saying to you today, from today, may the Holy Spirit turn everything that anybody has said against you. May he turn it into a testimony. 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 May negative words that have been spoken about you, may they be turned into a testimony in your favor in Jesus' mighty name. The last person I want us to consider. I have three people I wanted us to look at today, but we won't finish. Sometimes the message comes so much that I want to finish preaching them quickly. My wife is always quarreling with me. Say, you don't finish the series. You don't finish the series. You don't finish one. You jump to other. You don't. She has been saying that for me. She knows that I don't finish my messages. Because it is true. Always they are coming. They are coming. Thousands of messages. I have messages I can preach for the next 10 years, every Sunday. There are messages I've never preached here, and I've never preached everywhere. Anytime I open the Bible, I am seeing the message. So, you know, do you know why this one is part two? Last Sunday, I thought that was the end. All this I'm telling you, it has just come. So I think there is going to be part 3. There is going to be part 4. Because I don't want somebody to quarrel with me. So I'm going to take my time. So I'm not going to write. But today, let me give you this last point. Let's go to a woman called Ruth. A woman who manifested. There were many women who manifested, supernatural living. Today, I have Ruth here. And then I had the widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath. And then another widow. And then Mary and Martha. And all that. But let's end with Ruth today. In Ruth, chapter 1. It's an account of Naomi and Elimelech. The Bible says that this man and the wife left their town because of famine and went to the land of Moab. And after they have stayed there with their two sons got the adult sons. They got there and got married to Moabite women. And these Moabite women that their sons got married to, one was called Ruth. Another one was called Orpah. And remember that in Deuteronomy chapter 23, Deuteronomy 23, verse 3 to 6, Deuteronomy 23, 3 to 6, God has told the Israelites never to marry Moabites. They should never marry. They should never marry. But Mahlon and Chilion, these were the sons of Naomi and Elimelech. They married two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. So when you read from Ruth chapter 1, the Bible said that after they've stayed there for 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion did what? They died. And now, naturally, after a person has lost a husband, the person is free to marry or to remarry. You can marry anyone that you want. And so Naomi called Ruth and Orpah and said, look, my sons that you were married to are no more. Please go back to your people and marry. They said, no, we will go with you, we will be with you. So they were there some time. And then Naomi continued to convince them. Then at the point, Orpah couldn't stand again. Orpah said, okay, what you are saying is a reality. Orpah faced the reality. Orpah faced the reality. The reality is that, Charlie, I must go and have my life. This old lady, I don't have any destiny with this old lady again. So even as the old lady herself has said, look, I think let me go back to my people. And the Bible says that Orpah bid Naomi farewell. They kissed each other. They hugged each other. And then Orpah left. The moment Orpah left, the Bible says in Ruth chapter 1 from verse 16, Naomi said to Ruth, look, Orpah is gone. Why don't you go back to your people? The Bible says that Ruth clung unto Naomi and said, I will go with you. I am not leaving you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. Where you are buried, I will be buried. Hey! The Bible said that when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped convincing her. She stopped convincing her to go back. Now, what did Ruth see? Everybody said it. Say, Lord, let me see beyond the natural. Let me see what Ruth saw. Let me see what Abraham saw. Let me see what the widow of Zarephath saw. Let me see what Elizabeth saw. Let me see what Mary saw. Let me see what all these people saw before they believed, before they obeyed. May you see into the supernatural. I said, may you see what they see. May you see what they saw. And what happened to Ruth? In Ruth chapter 4, after one event followed the other, Ruth got married to one of the richest young men in town called Boaz. Now, let us look at how Ruth found a placement. Two Moabite women, their faith in the supernatural enlisted them in the genealogy, the ancestral tree of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not every Israeli is listed in the ancestral tree. Not every Israeli is connected to Jesus Christ. Not every Israeli, yes. By Abraham, yes, they are all. Not everybody who came out of Abraham. Yes, by a certain tribe. But then, two Moabite women, because of their faith in the supernatural, they placed their name there. May your faith in the supernatural place your name there. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 and then verse 5 to 6. Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 and then verse 5 to 6. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. We want to look at the family tree of Jesus Christ. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Please jump to verse 5 and 6 and then you will see Ruth there. Salmon, the father of Boaz. This was Ruth's husband. Boaz was Ruth's husband. And Ruth's husband's father was Salmon. So Salmon is the in-law. Salmon is the father-in-law of Ruth. Let's continue. Whose mother was Rahab? Salmon, the father of Boaz. Whose mother was Rahab? Boaz. The father, you know, it means that Boaz's mother was Rahab. Eh? Boaz's mother was Rahab. Another prostitute. Another person who doesn't qualify naturally. Are you seeing something here? Boaz, the father of Obed. Whose mother was Ruth? Obed, the father of Jesse. Let's continue. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Continue. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Now, when you continue, these are what? The genealogy. The faith in the supernatural place Rahab's name in the genealogy of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at the condition of Ruth. She was a Moabite. She doesn't qualify at all. Number two, she was a foreigner. Number three, she was a widow. Listen to me, church. From here we learn that the supernatural makes your background irrelevant. I said the supernatural makes your background what? Irrelevant. The supernatural also breaks, or let me put it this way, your faith in the supernatural makes your background irrelevant. Your faith in the supernatural breaks every protocol to give you what naturally you do not deserve. Another one. Your faith in the supernatural suspends every procedure to put you in a position you do not naturally deserve. I say, listen to that. Your faith in the supernatural suspends every procedure to put you in a position you do not naturally deserve. May you receive the ability to walk in the supernatural. Receive the anointing to begin to live in the supernatural. I say, receive the anointing to begin to live in the supernatural. Listen to me. With a person who believes in the supernatural, all things are possible. I say all things are possible. The supernatural delivers to you the best of the best. The best of everything. Hallelujah. May you receive that anointing right now. 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 Look. Do you know why the message in the supernatural is coming? Who can remember? From June. The message God gave us from June. June to December was what? June to December was what? Clearance. Have you forgotten? Clearance. That for the next 6 months is what? Clearance. And this month, October, is what? Abundant life. Do you know what God told me? Say, for the next 6 months, I have released the supernatural. And I want my people to walk in the supernatural. They should believe me for what they can believe me for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, that was why Auntie Benedicta's marriage came in the 9th month. In the 9th month, her marriage came. The yoke of marital delay is broken in this house. It's broken in this house. It's broken in this house. It's broken in this house. Listen to me. Three major yokes are broken in this house. The yoke of poverty. The yoke of marital delay. The yoke of child delay. Our deacon here, Martin. Martin was married. It was 2 weeks to celebrating his 20th marital anniversary. The wife delivered a bouncing baby boy. 20 years. 20 years. 20 years. He held on. I remember the commanding building committee member, very committed. When we're breaking down the other side, that people rush us to borrow money and do. We didn't wait. We wasted money. May God forgive us. He said, when they were pulling down that place, he was saying, my old foundations are being pulled down. My old foundations are being pulled down. My old foundations are being pulled down. And a new foundation is going to rise. A new foundation is going to manifest. Yes! The old foundation has been pulled down. A new foundation of fruitfulness has manifested in his life because of the El Shaddai anointing. May you receive that El Shaddai anointing. May your own foundation be pulled down. Let me tell you another foundation. Another realms in this house. The realms of long life. There is no death in this house. Listen to me. When you take care of yourself, you will live. I say you will live. I say you will live. There is no death in this house. I say you will not die. You will live and declare the works of God. You will live and declare the works of God. Poverty cannot kill you. Blood pressure cannot kill you. Diabetes cannot kill you. No disease can kill you. Witches and wizards cannot kill you. The occultists cannot kill you. Those dreams that they are giving to you, they cannot kill you. Let me tell you, they will live and celebrate your testimony. They will live and celebrate your testimony. Rise up with me right now. I declare to you, anyone who says that you cannot marry, that your marriage will not come on, anyone who has told you, anyone who is thinking in his mind, we shall see over my dead body. Oh, please, never use that expression, over my dead body. I beg you. Just say what you want to say, but don't add over my dead body. Because when you add over my dead body, and somebody who is smart is there, somebody who is spiritually smart, he can use that thing to kill you. Because you are a human being, you have mistakes. He can use your weakness to kill you. Never say over my dead body. Don't be using those terminology. Over my dead. Just say, this thing cannot happen. This thing, I resist. This thing, so and so. But don't say over my dead body. Because you have weaknesses. They'll go and punch holes into your weaknesses and kill you. But anybody who has said over your dead body, over his or her dead body, before your wedding, your marriage will come on. Before your so and so will come on. Listen to me. They will not die. They will celebrate your wedding and celebrate your first naming ceremony. After that, they will go and die. They will celebrate your testimony and die with your testimony. They will celebrate your testimony and die with your testimony. They will celebrate your testimony and die with your testimony. Hallelujah. 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 Look, the yoke of poverty is broken in the house. The yoke of poverty is broken in the house. Do you know what has happened It is because of your faith in the supernatural from June 6th that we launch this Isaac sacrifice. This Isaac sacrifice for the project. For the first time in the history of this church, we didn't bring any prophet. I'm not saying prophet are bad, they are very good. God uses everybody in their realms. There are people who are experts. We have brought experts in this and they have done what they can do. But this one, God is teaching us a lesson. When I taught for 2 months, April and May, on Isaac sacrifice, and the Lord said on 6 June, launch it. We launched the Isaac sacrifice. We did it. That day, what we raised, listen to me, from that day to the end of September, I don't know how much it is now, we have raised 450,000 Ghana cedis. Look at the project going on. This should encourage you. Look at the project going on. No angel came and stood here, but just obedient to the word of God. And you know what God was telling me? He said, if we should do this Isaac sacrifice for the next 5 years, this area cannot contain. The church cannot. People will be running into this church because everyone in this church will become a millionaire. Say, poverty will run away from this church. Say, poverty will run away from the church. In fact, God showed me certain things that he has started doing. He said, I shouldn't. God, please forgive me. Oh God, forgive me. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes when we hear these things, we want to tell the people so that they can be encouraged. But God said, this one, don't say it. Don't say it. I'm only showing it to you. Look, do you know what is going on in your life? Look, nobody will die here with cancer. I'm telling you, nobody will die premature in this house. Look, God is visiting you. You have no idea what God is doing. You have no idea. You have no idea. God is doing amazing things in your life. Say, my Father in heaven, release into me. Stir in me. The spirit of the supernatural. The spirit of the supernatural. Pray that prayer right now. Stir. Stir in me the spirit of the supernatural. 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 Stay in my spirit. The spirit of the supernatural. The spirit of the supernatural. Stay in my spirit. The spirit of the supernatural. Ratakoskaratuska. Shalarito kasti imakara. Zibratoskata ratuska. Shalarito kasti imasande.
Lord, the spirit of the supernatural
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Ezekiel 36:26, Ezekiel 36:26, and 1 Samuel 10:9, 1 Samuel 10:9, Ezekiel 36:26, the Bible says that I will give them a new heart and a new spirit. And in 1 Samuel 10:6, the Bible says that God gave Saul a new heart. 1 Samuel 10:9. God gave Saul a new heart. Say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Give me a new heart.
Give me a new heart.
A heart to believe the supernatural.
A heart to believe the supernatural.
A heart to believe the supernatural.
A heart to believe
the supernatural. Give me the heart for the supernatural.
Give me the heart.
Give me the heart for the supernatural. Give me the mind for the supernatural. Give me the spirit of the supernatural. Declare those things right now. Give me the heart of the supernatural. Give me the mind of the supernatural. Give me the spirit of the supernatural. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. Speak right now. Speak right now.
Give me the mind of the supernatural.
Shatakaya.
The spirit of the supernatural.
Shalikratoska. Shalaritosha. Shakarato. Libratoska taka. Ishelekoro. Ishakaratoska. Salaritoska, give us, O God, the heart of the supernatural, the mind of the supernatural, the spirit of the supernatural. Shala retoska, shala retoska ta, libratoska ta, rataske. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father.
From today, before you make any decision, before you make any choice, before you take any step, pray for the supernatural. Stir the spirit of the supernatural in you, because you already have it. Just pray in tongues. Pray, worship the Lord. Be inspired before you take that step. Be inspired before you make that decision. Be inspired before you make that choice. And I tell you that your choices, your decisions, your steps will always be accurate. Look, I've never made a major mistake in life. I've made mistakes, but they are all minor. A major mistake is marrying a wrong person. A major mistake is marrying hot a wrong person. When you marry a wrong person, you are in hell forever. That's a major mistake. It can affect your destiny. It can even affect your salvation. I'm telling you, I've never made a major mistake in life, and I give that to the glory of God. Amen. But I've made some mistakes, but not major mistakes. A major mistake affects your destiny. Yes. Marrying to the wrong person is a major mistake. Yes. Getting into a wrong profession is a major mistake. Believing in a wrong doctrine, being in a wrong religion is a major mistake. I'm telling you, some people are in certain religion with certain ideologies that are sending them to hell. That has even limited them, but they don't know. Yes. Having a wrong person as your friend is a major mistake. A wrong advisor. Look, you should always check the people around you. Check their spirit all the time. Pray for them. Look, every day I mention my deacon's names. Every day I mention your names, your wife's and your children's names. I'm telling you today, even this morning, I mention your names. I mention mama. I mention papa. So I mention all the children. I mention all their names every day. I mention my secretary. I mention my wife and my children, because these are the people who are close to you. I mention the community. There are some names I mention every day. There are some people here who are key people in the church, who are financial.
Thank you for listening to today's word. We believe that you have been impacted greatly. If you are listening to this podcast and you want to give your life to Christ, please say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you came to do for me. Your life for mine, my sin for your righteousness. I believe that you are the Son of God, sent to die for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for your grace towards me. Amen. Beloved, if you have said this prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to God's heavenly family. You can send us an email on deliveranceagdh@gmail.com. We would be glad to assist you and help you grow in the Lord. Thank you. Till next time, keep living the glorious life in Christ.